New year usually means new devices. Phones, laptops, tablets, from grandma all the way down to the kids, or at least spending more time online. That's been a good reminder to actually think about digital security again. I've been using Webroot, specifically their Total Protection Plan, which is an all-in-one option if you want coverage beyond just antivirus. What stood out to me is that it combines real-time antivirus protection against things like malware and phishing scams, identity monitoring with alerts, and this is a big one, up to $1 million in expense reimbursement for eligible out-of-pocket costs if identity theft ever becomes an issue. Total Protection also includes tools like a password manager and web threat protection that blocks malicious sites before you visit them, plus options to protect multiple devices and even family members, all without slowing your system down or throwing constant pop-ups at you. So here's the deal. New year, new device. Whether you're upgrading tech or sticking with what you've got, now's the time to protect all your devices at 60% off with Webroot's trusted cybersecurity solutions. Visit webroot.com/crypto101 and get 60% off. Again, that's webroot.com, webroot.com/crypto101 for 60% off. This offer is only available through the Crypto 101 link, so make sure you use it. webroot.com/crypto101 and get up to 60% off their Total Protection Plan. This year, choose protection that's right for you and live a better digital life with Webroot. A well-built wardrobe is about pieces that work together and hold up over time. That's what Quince does best. Premium materials, thoughtful design, and everyday staples that feel easy to wear and easy to rely on, even as the weather shifts. Quince has the everyday essentials I love with quality that lasts. Organic cotton sweaters, polos for every occasion, lighter jackets that keep you warm in the changing seasons. The list goes on. Quince works directly with top factories and cuts out the middleman, so you're not paying for brand markup, just quality clothing. Everything is built to hold up to daily wear and still look good season after season. Guys, the coat I got from Quince was perfect for when I went home up north for the cold winter this holiday season. I got so many compliments. It was perfect, and it still looks like it just came out of the box. I'll be wearing it for years to come because the quality is that good. Also, they have so many awesome other things. I love their workout shirts. They have awesome polos. I got a couple button-downs to wear for date night, and even some sunglasses that look cool. I got all this stuff because the quality is great, and the online shopping experience for Quince.com is super fun. They literally have so many options. So going on their website and shopping is literally something that I truly enjoyed, and the products match. Everything is built to hold up to daily wear and still looks good season after season. Guys, the coat I got for my northern visit this holiday season was perfect. It kept me warm in the cold weather, and it still looks brand new out of the box. So I'm going to be wearing it for seasons to come. And guys, the price was spectacular. The online store is so fun and so easy. So if you're interested in that, you got to go check out Quince.com. Refresh your wardrobe with Quince. Go to Quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's Quince, Quince.com/crypto101. Free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/crypto101. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast presented by Gemini, your bridge to the future of money. We've got a fun crypto rundown. First one of the week here, but we're going to make it our best one of the week because we might not be back later in the week because we're actually all getting together, which is always exciting, but a lot of work to be done later in the week. But I did, since we're only going to have one episode, bring on two of our favorite analysts. Brian and Joe are here. Guys, welcome back to the show. Brian, you're on the most. So, Joe, how have you been? Welcome back to the show. What's going on?
I've been very excitedly working on our in-person event. Yeah, but super exciting times, even though the market might not reflect it.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be a good event, getting everybody, getting the whole analyst team out together. So I guess if there is any breaking or monumental news, we could hop on and record something quick, but we're going to be pretty busy later in the week. Brian, how are you? Excited to get back together with the gang?
Yeah, man. I'm real excited. We're going to be having our fair share of little powwows and having a good time. And I hope we have such like ripping news, like the government's buying Bitcoin the whole time, that we're forced to do an in-person rundown where, like, you know, we're wearing our Bitcoin sweaters and hats. So we could only hope that's the case. But right now, choppy waters. That's been kind of the word of the year right now.
Yeah, choppy waters for all markets. Yeah, I was watching some Fox Business and CNBC earlier. All markets are having a choppy day. Crypto, no exception. We'll pull up the coin market cap. just can see kind of a sea of red. Nothing too crazy necessarily in the last days, but overall your 7-day trend is a little mixed with some altcoins and Bitcoin, but just down on the downtrend. Let's fear and greed index up to 13. We hit that across many metrics. There was some record-breaking fear and greed index last week, which we covered. Joe, let's just get your take first, just kind of on the overall picture of the market, whether it's fear and greed index or anything on coin market cap. Is there anything that sticks out to you since you've last been on? You know, it's been about maybe like 2 weeks. So what are you feeling overall?
Yeah, I actually have it on the link on the next topic. But we could pull that up. It kind of reflects my thoughts on the overall markets. It was a Bernstein analyst that said Bitcoin could be 156,000, calls it the weakest bear in history. But if you read deeper in the article, he really put some thought on it. And he basically said that Bitcoin is truly not acting like a hedge against inflation as we hoped yet. It's acting like a risk-on play for everyone. And that's kind of what it's playing out to be on a short term. So, but to his point, I still believe in the fundamentals of Bitcoin, and I adopt a lot of his beliefs that, you know, there's nothing fundamentally changed about Bitcoin, but we're not seeing the gold hedge as we hope in the near term. So yeah, that's kind of reflects my feelings, but as you can see there, the price prediction is still 156,000 Bitcoin before the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Brian, any thoughts on the Bernstein article? I saw some tweets about that. I thought it was courageous, at least, while everybody's, you know, drawn down and taking down their targets and the world's on fire for whatever, everything from software to crypto to large cap tech. You know, a little contrarian take here.
As we know, the contrarian take is more likely the correct take in a lot of different markets overall. As much as we love it or hate it, you know, whenever we were ripping at all-time highs, I was drinking the Kool-Aid as much as anyone and was like, this is it. But, you know, those contrarian takes where we felt like, you know, a little overbought were correct. And right now, you know, I think this is an interesting take. I'll take 156,000 Bitcoin this year. I definitely see a path where that happens. You know, we've seen some interesting things come out recently about the Clarity Act and how that could get done here in the next few months. So there's a lot of catalysts to get us there. But right now, all asset classes, like you said at the beginning, are down right now. Gold, silver, stocks, crypto. I think really the only thing up as of today was like bond yields and maybe USD. So it doesn't feel, crypto doesn't feel like, to me at least, my personal sentiment right now, I mean, the top coin right now is up 8% on 24 hours. So it's a lot of things feel flat. A lot of things feel choppy. And I think we're going to be like this for a while. And again, gives us some good opportunity out there because there are catalysts like you have up on the screen right now. What's that, 62% chance? Maybe a bump up from what it was last week? Wasn't it like 52 or 55?
It was bouncing around. It kissed 62 on Friday, and then it's been bouncing around on the week from 53 to 62. So above 50% chance for the week, and then yeah, trending. I don't know if you want to do technical analysis on the poly market chart, but it keeps tapping some high support there, looking for a breakout.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously some people out there that are saying that they're going to work this out, and I'm going to put faith in a lot of the head players of this to make this happen and push us to next levels, because it's absolutely a huge catalyst for us to get there. And, you know, it'll change the sentiment overall, and we could really catch some steam. But right now, it feels a little choppy, and I think we're going to chop for a little while. But it doesn't feel as extreme fear, the retail side of things, as it did, you know, last week. Feels like everyone's kind of getting numbed up a little bit. You know, the people that left, and now we're here, and we're all trying to move up to that next spot.
Yeah, I think we're trying to figure out where to put this on the sheet. And somebody's vibrating phone's coming through their mic. But we're trying to figure out where to put the vibrating, sorry, trying to put the AI thing. We're bouncing it all over the sheet, but I guess it kind of comes into play of saying like, okay, everybody is the sentiments on basically everybody's on the same side of the boat, and this kind of AI take is no longer like kind a contrarian take. So there's always people, you know, raising the red flag of like AI will do this, AI will do that. Now it seems that, you know, at least the market is pinning against, you know, all the people that are spending, you know, there's no cap, like CapEx limit to how much companies are spending to build these out. And then what will come of these AI products? Is it going to take down software? Is it going to take down and reinvent, you know, the large cap tech? So I'll pull up that article that you brought here, Joe. We've kicked it around before on the show with Brendan and Brian. So I wanted to give you the floor to give your take, because that's what the show is all about, right? It's a platform for all of us to have different opinions and how we look at things. So, you know, I'll pull up this article and you can kind of lay out your case.
Yeah, Tivo, you don't want me to get in depth into this because we'll take an hour. Because come into the live person event. This is a very big news. This is just more like a clickbaity topic for the month of February, a $300 billion tech market sell-off. But in large, it started in October of last year. So they've kind of seen this downtrend for, you know, 4 or 5 months now. And it's no longer, like you mentioned, a contrarian take. When there's uncertainty in the market, right, like for the Clarity Act or macro markets, prices fold. And there's uncertainty right now in the tech scene. I live in San Francisco. I've seen more AI agents billboards this last month than I've done the last year. And what's happened now is that I was telling Brian before we jumped on that previous to what you noted earlier, Tivo, was that companies were pricing in the winners, like the NVIDIAs, the OpenAIs, the Claudes, they're pricing in their valuations. For the first time ever in the last 4 or 5 years, we talk about AI now, they're starting to price in the losers, like who's going to lose. And we could see that in the multiples. And if you listen to, you know, AI-driven financial news, the multiples have come down around 50%. Forward earnings of cash value, forward earnings of price. So the revenue hasn't dropped, but the multiples have. They're anywhere from Adobe being 30 times multiples of their earnings versus their revenue, the financial cash that they have. They're going from 30 to 15. And this is across the board. Like, we're talking about Salesforce, everything. So, I mean, I could get deeper into it, but I won't. I'm just going to stop there because there's so much uncertainty right now in Silicon Valley, and it's rippled across global markets. And when is it going to stop? We don't know, because we've never been here before. Like, we talk about agentic AI a lot. Like, when are we going to get there? Well, I don't think people really want to, like, say it because they don't want to be the person to say it, but it seems like we've gotten there. Starting January, end of December, it seems like we've gotten to that point. And I'm kind of like under-delivering how big this really is, because there's just so much more about this particular trade and how it's affecting Silicon Valley and the valuations and how people speculate their money, because the big, you know, the top five companies are going to be affected by this. They already are. And there's going to be clear winners and clear losers. We're just in the midst, right? We're in the eye of the storm right now, so it's really hard to see. But we picked some winners, so stay to the end of the rundown because we got some winners for you guys.
No, I couldn't agree more. It's an uncertain time, and as much as we, you know, try to make this show specifically about crypto, it is the crypto markets which are tied to the broader, you know, markets as well. And it's definitely a digestion period. We've kind of focused and brought up the chart of, I think we mentioned it a couple weeks ago, even it was like comparing the software to the Bitcoin chart, and it's like eerily similar. And kind of to your point of how all these software stocks are taking a huge hit because people just don't know. And usually, at least for, you know, traders, it's usually overreactions, right? We have overreactions to the upside. We call those hockey sticks or Empire State Buildings on the chart. And we always say, you know, you got to beware when you get into that territory, and it can happen to the downside as well. And so it feels like one of those times where there is a lot of uncertainty. It's been a tech bull market coming out of, you know, 21, 22, and, you know, all the way through 25 after that correction in 22. So, you know, there's plenty of profits to be taken. There's been plenty of great trades that have put on, whether it's been a year, 2 years, 3 years. And now there's so much uncertainty that, you know, the AI conversation and quantum conversation, especially in the crypto world, is kind of taking center stage. This is a real-time super producer clip pulling it out of the woodwork. I saw Kevin O'Leary talking about Bitcoin on Fox Business. So I went and found the clip just because he touches on kind of the AI quantum comparison for Bitcoin. And again, not that Kevin O'Leary is a quantum computing expert by any measure, but I do think he's a decent voice to listen to because I think he's somebody that has the pulse of a lot of different people that are making decisions. Let's take a listen to Mr. Wonderful about crypto.
Need is Bitcoin and Ethereum, and the rest of the poo-poo coins are worthless.
Yeah.
So they dropped 80-90%. They never came back. Bitcoin got slaughtered because of a lot of deleveraging. Mm-hmm. Remember, we had all these treasury products that came out. They had leverage on them. I'm still long this, but there's a new concern that is kind of floating around for 10% of the people out there. Quantum. The idea that a quantum computer can break the chain.
Interesting.
And so until that gets resolved, there'll be some resistance at the institutional level to go past 3%.
So again, I think it's a narrative. It's a lot of narratives it's a narrative-driven market sometimes, and that's currently the narrative, is the AI disruption, the quantum disruption. What is it going to affect? Everything from Bitcoin's affected to it to companies like ServiceNow, Microsoft, all the software companies in the IGV. And I think it's sell and ask questions later and figure it out. And you're not afraid to sell. And, if you want to, you can always buy it back later. So I think that's kind of the overall arching narrative that seems to have gripped the tech space, like you so eloquently put, Joe. But I do think it's important to weigh both things. So like you said, like he's like, all you want to do is buy Bitcoin and Ethereum. I think we have, later in the show, we're going to show some insights into your community where you're picking winners. And again, it's, 1-2x winners. It's like, okay, there's always opportunity in every market, depending on what your risk tolerance is and the ability to, put time and do the research and find winners. But that hasn't stopped a lot of the DATs are still buying. I think that's always important where, the biggest red flag for MicroStrategy, it would be if they ever just decide not to start adding more orange dots. And then Michael Saylor's got to ask some questions. So you can see MicroStrategy still buying, Bitmine still buying. And then I saw some stat where it was like, Bitmine has, I would love to see the stat or the stats on this, but Bitmine has half of all the staking in the validator queue.
You guys now have about 4.23 million ETH. Is that all staked?
Almost 3 million of it staked. Wow. Yeah. So, and I think we're half of the staking queue, right? There's like 4 million ETH. Like, I think we're 2 million of that.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
So again, I think there's the short-term narrative. It's AI, it's disruption. It's, who are the winners? Who are the losers? And what side of the boat are you going to be on? And then there's the standard, long-term vision, long-term investors of the belief of where this is going. And you can kind of paint the picture of those two different sides of, the short-term, the newest narrative, the new person on the block versus, hey, this is our thesis. We've done the research and this is where we think things are heading.
This is going off script for everyone, but I'm going to propose it to you and Joe. I kind of look at this AI movement as bullish, net bullish for crypto. Joe, you and I have talked about it. I think crypto and AI integrate together seamlessly. And I think it's another sector, another avenue for crypto to thrive in. We talk about cross-border payments. We talk about real-world assets. We talk about all these different sectors. I feel like as AI grows, crypto should grow with it. What are your thoughts there, both of you guys?
Yeah, that's why I'm smiling. I spent the last 3-4 days working on that analysis deck for our in-person event about AI and the transition into crypto. Crypto fits perfectly for this AI movement that we're seeing. And we found some winners that we'll cover at the end of the show. And that's where the momentum is right now. I think in the last, 2-3 weeks, Brian, we found a few that 2-3x and even is down market. And it's because of this pocket of success in AI. Like, the AI companies aren't sweating it, right? The macro markets in Silicon Valley. They're just heads down building because they know they're going to disrupt everything. And thankfully, crypto fits very nicely, and there's a lot of data behind it.
You know what's wild? How many guys hit their 30s and suddenly everything feels harder than it used to? Your energy dips, the focus isn't there anymore, and gym progress stalls. The conversation almost always turns to testosterone. So I've spent a lot of time digging into this, not just the headlines, but actual studies, ingredients, research, and talking to people who've gone down the TRT road. And once you really understand what traditional TRT involves, it includes lifelong injections with needles, shutting down your body's natural production, fertility concerns, and it really makes guys pause. That's why I've been paying attention to Mars Men. It's designed as a TRT alternative, not injections, not synthetics, just a stack of well-researched ingredients like Tonga Ali, zinc, and boron that are used to support healthy testosterone function. I've seen the science behind these ingredients, and I personally know guys using it who say they love how steady their energy feels. No spikes, no crashes, and no needles. For a limited time, our listeners get 50% off for life, plus free shipping and 3 free gifts at mengotomars.com. Mars Men is made in the USA, third-party tested, and backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. Over 91% of its users report higher energy levels, and the reviews speak for themselves. And again, for a limited time, our listeners get 50% off for life, free shipping, and 3 free gifts at mengotomars.com. That's mengotomars.com for 50% off for life, free shipping, and 3 free gifts. After checkout, make sure you tell them that Crypto 101 sent you. Are you interested in effortlessly growing your Bitcoin portfolio? I sure am. The Gemini credit card earns you Bitcoin back on every purchase. Use it just like any other credit card when you buy lunch, gas, or even just your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. All that with no annual fee. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stack. Guys, you've heard us talk about Gemini now every single episode, and we love and appreciate that they've been a sponsor because we use their products, whether it's the exchange or the card. They have been leaders in the space for so long. So if you're interested in earning crypto rewards for your everyday spending, go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. See the link in the description for more information regarding rates and fees.
Issued by WebBank. Some exclusions to instant rewards apply. This is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. Check Gemini's website for more details on rates and fees.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed. Plus, free home delivery with any bed and base. Ends Monday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Yeah, I think I fall on the lines of I'm no AI expert. I'm no quantum computing expert. But I do like studying trends. I like studying history. And history doesn't, you know, always repeat, but it usually rhymes. And it feels... You know, everything is different, and I wasn't alive back, or I was alive, but I wasn't, you know, trading. I was, you know, 8 years old during the dot-com bubble. But if you go and study that, it's like, hey, there's all, you know, the internet comes out, and all you had to do is put dot-com on your name, and your stock went up 10x or whatever. And we've talked about this, how, it was a year or 2 years ago coming out of the bear market. Like, if you had AI, you know, in your earnings call, or your stock would go up 20%. And so... You know, I think the free money and the crazy, gains where if you just set AI in your earnings report, that seems to be over. And there's going to be winners and losers. And the losers, you know, as Mr. Wonderful would say, are poo-poo coins or poo-poo AI. And the winners are going to be the next generational, you know, companies that are changing the world. And so I think the same falls for crypto. It's like, hey, there's going to be winners within AI. There's going to be losers within AI. But the key is, you know, staying, doing your research, trying to find the alpha. But the opportunity is there. And I think this huge digestion phase is kind of are these legacy Mag 7 names that have led the market for 5 to 8 years going to be able to leverage AI and still be leaders? Or is there some new people on the block that are going to come over and, you know, take over? Or is I think an example is like, can a finance firm become a technology company? Can like JP Morgan or Morgan Stanley invest in the right AI and they actually turn into a technology company, you know, not overnight, but in what seems might be in a blink of an eye in the next 5 to 10 years, they're all of a sudden a technology company, not just a bank. And then, you know, the original pets.com or AI.com that doesn't, you know, find a way to be a real company is gonna fall by the wayside. And so I think that, you know, follows for crypto too.
On that note, Tivo, I bought more hood this morning.
Ooh, wow. He's a buyer, huh? He's a buyer.
Hey, you said bank and tech hood.
Hey, right? That's what I think. That's kind of they're ahead of the game on the tech side, and then, you know, the obviously the legacy banks have all the money. Let's see. Speaking of legacy banks, I'm jumping around the sheet here a little bit, but since we naturally got there, Morgan Stanley continues to kind of offer or building out and announcing some offering some products. Crypto is a core wealth product, not just a side offering. Looks like they're adding spot Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana trading, coming to E-Trade, which is their trading product, branded wallet, spot ETF filings, advisor integrations. We've talked about, I think we when they first started announcing it, we were covering this, but it seems like there's more press going around it. And again, these larger companies don't roll out, you know, these items if they think it's some fad that's going away. So I think that's important. Continuing on kind of the ETH thing, we had some rumors of Mr. Beast. I wanted to bring this up because I think Joe is a great person to get a Mr. Beast tank. Brian and I were so excited over the Mr. Beast announcement. And I think there were some rumors that he might be looking to launch a finance-focused YouTube channel to go along with buying that you know finance app that he bought, along with BitMine being involved in Beast Industries. So is there any, number one, just your general take on Mr. Beast, the BitMine investment / Mr. Beast, then Beast Industries going and buying the banking app, and then maybe a rumored finance channel. Does that get you bulled up?
It does. Definitely for Ethereum, the DATs are actually utilizing something, so that's exciting, utilizing their funds for something productive. Definitely a Mr. Beast fan. Like him or hate him, he's in front of, what, 500 million eyeballs a day. He's got a crazy amount of subscribers, so this is a net positive for the industry with his acquisition of the wallet company. And then, yeah, I would keep an eye on him because, you know, all his videos are around, you know, financial gains, right? So, and the Gen Z, the Gen Alpha, like you're pointing to the data there, they all listen to him. This is great. You know, we're seeing more financial education through Mr. Beast, hopefully now, and also with the new Trump accounts. You know, hopefully America gets more literate overall is my opinion in finances. And it fits really nicely with the crypto rails, with the whole AI narrative. So we can definitely see a massive onboarding with crypto through Ethereum and with Mr. Beast, and that will definitely help move things up, not only for Ethereum, but a lot of other markets also within crypto.
It is a good point that, you know, for the most part, at least his highest performing videos are all around a large cash prize, right? Yeah. They're different. He's different challenges and different entertaining, but it all comes down to money. And it all comes down to, you know, winning this big cash prize. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, Beast Financial Services or whatever, you know, whatever he rolls out, is it tied into the giveaway aspect, or, you know, we'll open a bank account, you know, the winning person gets some bank account loaded with the $10 million grand prize that is from the show through Beast Financials on chain, however they deliver, maybe the delivering the prize money is in a unique way through his services, or you know, somewhere in his other business model of this Beast Financial Services that seems to be getting built out in some way, which is pretty interesting. Another interesting headline here, or before I jump to that, you mentioned the Trump financial accounts. I think it is important. We didn't put that on the sheet yet, but those are live. So if you are a new parent within the last, I think it's year or two, you should definitely go and Google your, you know, I think it's called like Trump investment account, right, for your child. It's free, but you got to go do some research. I think it was like Brad Gerstner, Invest for America, and that group, you know, got those running and got those live. So if you're a new parent, definitely go and Google that. And speaking of investing, we've got an update on Harvard. It was big news when Harvard bought Bitcoin. We got some more big news around that for their trust. So let's look. Harvard sold 20% of its Bitcoin holdings, but also added Ethereum. So adding a new crypto to the Harvard investment fund, adding Ethereum. I'm sure Tom Lee was super excited to see that. I don't think this is big news, like huge news one way or the other. I think it's just interesting to track and follow. Do you guys have any take on the Harvard investment fund? Do you like them? Do you see them selling? What do you like the selling? Do you like the diversification aspect of it? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll jump in. I find it pretty interesting, to be honest. It's obviously the Ethereum lovers out there are probably elated, kind of like they're probably like, what does Harvard know? Obviously, we know about Ethereum and its connection to, you know, moving forward with stable coins. I don't think it's like a bearish or bullish statement. You know, if they sold for cash, I would have been a little bit more concerned. But it seems like they're just allocating to the number two crypto in the world, Ethereum. And I own Ethereum. I think Ethereum's, you know, a big part of my personal, like, portfolio. So I think it's super interesting. Not bearish or bullish, but I want to know what they're thinking. You know, I'm curious if they're, you know, they obviously think, or they're speculating, there's a good chance Ethereum outperforms Bitcoin.
Yeah, no thoughts there, but I'm excited for my Ethereum bags.
Nice. Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's news you got to cover. I got a couple alerts for the listeners. Trezor, have you guys seen this? I saw this all over the timeline. I put it in our group chat. I didn't deep dive on it at all, but there's something floating around the timeline, and I don't think it's awful just to bring up just in case it is true, but there's something going on the timeline where you might be getting some mail if you're a Trezor holder, and it seems to be a scam. It's got a QR code, and they're going to tell you to scan the QR code. It seems like a physical phishing attempt instead of a virtual one. So nothing to really break down there. I just thought, you know, we'd use our platform to say, hey, we're seeing this. So, you know, always be as safe as you can with all that stuff. That's something that we're seeing. And then in some fun news, we're seeing some more Steak and Shake. Steak and Shake sales are up. I passed by one the other week, and I wanted to go in. It wasn't time for a meal. But I do have it on my list to go get a Steak and Shake Bitcoin burger at some time. But it says it's working. The Bitcoin community is coming out for Steak and Shake. We've covered it, kind of fun. And you know, the company, the employees getting their Bitcoin bonus. But Joe, you wanted to talk about it. So what were you seeing from the Steak and Shake?
I just thought it was funny, but I thought it was funny at first, and I read the article, and you know, it was interesting. It's Steak and Shake said that the demand got lifted dramatically because they started accepting Bitcoin payments. And then what's interesting is they're taking that payments and putting it into the strategic reserve and then giving out to bonuses for, you know, their employees. I thought it was a marketing gimmick. The numbers aren't out yet. I tried looking for the transparent numbers. It's just the CEO saying that the sales are increased dramatically. So take that with a grain of salt or whatever. But he's also poking fun at Sailor, saying, hey, this is what happens when you integrate Bitcoin meaningfully versus, you know, utilizing it as a leveraged credit product. So it's interesting that initially when we saw this, they were like, oh, it's just a ploy, you know, just giving employees Bitcoin as a bonus. But it works out. You know, that it matters. You know, I know Brian's got a Bitcoin credit card. He uses it exclusively because he gets Bitcoin, right? Or did you change that to a Hype recently, Brian?
No, Hype wasn't an option. I would have... I actually changed it. I changed it to Chainlink recently. I should keep it with Bitcoin and Ethereum, but I changed it to Chainlink recently. I wanted to softly build my Chainlink bags for no other reason that I kind of like it to switch it up. I'm a fluid guy. Gemini Rewards, friend of the podcast.
Yeah, friend of the big big friend of the show. Big friend of the show.
Yeah, solid credit card, and I like to diversify on my rewards on my Gemini card. It's a lot of fun.
Diversification is key. Speaking of friends in the show, not a bad chat for a Tuesday afternoon. We've got East Coast Lobster, Zen Styles is here, Trinity's here, Grant, Kevin, Chris. We really appreciate everybody tuning in, and if you're watching the replay, thanks as well. If you could give it a like, we appreciate you. And then on the bottom right, hit the logo and subscribe if you're not. Because I don't know, this is the best show in crypto. So what else is there to say? I saw a fun tweet. It was CoinGecko's top 15 most searched altcoins. I thought this could be a good transition into the Momentum Moneymakers conversation, because that's where we dive deep and find the winners. But this isn't winners or losers. This is a top 15 most searched altcoins on its platform in the recent hours, where retail attention is flowing. So let's see the top 10 here. So we got Bitcoin, BitSensor, Pi Network. Pi Network always makes me laugh. Solana, Hyperliquid, Pepe, Sui, the Venice token, Caspa, Ethereum at 10, Layer 0, Pippin, Virtuals, Near, and then 15, Pudgy Penguin. Friend of the show, Pudgy Penguin. Thoughts on that? I always love Pi Network. That was one of my favorite interviews we did. We did a Pi Network interview, and the Pi Network community is just a bunch of bandits, man. They're always searching. They're always looking. And I just don't, I don't really get it. I remember we kind of did the interview and we just were like, what? And it's also, it was like back when I was at Barstool, I'll never forget. It was like Marty Mush was going around having people download Pi Network and like tap the button and just getting everybody to do it. And I thought, it's just a full circle when we got them in an interview. Ethereum at 10, I thought was interesting. Some of the top 10 list is interesting on the backside, like Casp of Venice. And again, this is just one website publishing a limited time. So I don't think this, you take any stake in this of success or by any means investment advice, obviously. But what do you guys think? Anything stick out to you on the top 15?
Yeah, I got two thoughts. One is, yeah, we got a few on there that we are surprised about. Like number 8, we're going to talk about Venice Token. We'll talk about a little bit later down on a rundown. And then also where CoinGecko says this is retail attention is flowing. So that's very interesting. So just to give people a grasp into AI, there was a recent study done. I didn't put the link on here. But I think Cointelegraph covered it also, where they said 50% of internet traffic is bots these days. So number one, not to throw a wrench, but like how accurate is this data? Is it just bots pulling queries, you know, for itself? And then number two, that's kind of where the world's going to now. We can't really trust the data that we see because it could be skewed a different way. But there are some interesting plays on here on the top that I messaged Brian right away when we saw this. We're like, number 8, Venice is up there. And we made that call. And for good reason, it's an AI-specific token. So we're seeing AI tokens creep up. BitTensor's AI focus, Venice's AI focus. Virtuals, we're going to talk about a little bit, and next two topics down, is making a big swing at a bat on AI too. So we're seeing that come up a lot.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I didn't know that Venice was one, but obviously I saw Virtuals. I saw Pudgy Penguin. We talked about the credit card. That we can officially announce that in the next segment too. So a lot of the ones in your neighborhood is kind of like what you guys base your expertise on, is finding, you know, what's in the narrative, what has the hype, if you will, and doing the research and finding what might be good ideas to maybe or maybe not pull the trigger on. So a cool list. And yeah, I think kind of your point of 50% of the internet is bots. I think Pi Network might have some bots. That one always, again, makes me giggle. But as we transition into the Momentum Moneymaker segment, if you guys want that kind of first access to Brian and Joe's community, they're going to kind of go over a couple of the calls that they've made in the community recently. So if you're somebody that wants that kind of first alert, it's the Momentum Moneymakers the link. I put a link in the show notes below if you're interested in joining Brian and Joe's community to get those first alerts. Go down and click the link. It's a trial. I think it's like $3 or something. So let's hear from them. Guys, what do you want to talk about first?
Dude, Punch. Pull that cute monkey up. There's a video of him. Super cute monkey. Cuddling his soft surrogate mother. And I'm so upset that Brian didn't. So I sent this to Brian. I saw this all over my feed. The mother abandoned it, and then the zookeepers gave it a cute, cuddly monkey as a surrogate. And then little did they know that it would drag it around everywhere. Yeah, click next. There's videos on it. And I messaged Brian immediately. I'm like, oh, this is there's got to be a token around this. And then Brian's like, I saw this at 100,000 market cap. So if you click on the next link, you'll see where it's at right now. And I'm just like, Brian, you got to message me these immediately. This is like the Mudangs of the past. Is that the one? Yeah, it's 10 million market cap. So you're probably on the 1 minute chart. Go to the daily chart. Yeah. So Brian saw it. We might not have had Brian on the show if he bought it earlier.
Yeah, I didn't know the whole story, but I saw it. I saw Graduate and I saw Punch, and then somebody messaged it, and there was just like a lot of volume picking up on it. And you know how some of those like Telegram bots will use here and there to pick up like trends, picked it up. And then like hours later, I like picked up as an alert, and it was the number one trending. It was at like millions of market cap. And I was like, and then you sent it to me, like the video behind it. I was like, oh my gosh, I saw this at like hundreds of thousands. And who knows, there's probably some PvP action going, like, you know, I didn't dive deep into it at the time. I blame the long weekend. You know, I just wanted to touch a little bit of grass. You know, I just wanted to have a couple of days to just recalibrate and absolutely missing Jenny Wealth. But people are calling it the next Mudang. I don't know if I'm buying it, but
no.
You know,
as the trenches are alive. That's what we're trying to show. The trenches are alive. People are invested in this monkey. They're lining up hours, taking videos of anything it does of this stuffed animal. But yeah, just to show that the trenches are moving and there are winners.
Yeah, we extremely apologize for the time it took to pass through the gates. That's great. Yeah, it definitely has a Mudang vibe.
Yeah.
That hippo is everywhere.
That little guy, that was in such a poppin' market too. But, you know, it goes to show you that there are, you know, there's still people out there that are definitely in the trenches, you know, pumping up. I mean, this is a multi-million dollar market cap. But you know what? If this was a year ago, whenever the meme coin sheets were just on fire, this would have been a $200 million market cap overnight. But still opportunity to get in on them at low prices. But it's making a name for itself. Good old Punch.
Nice. And then I see the Venice token. So Venice was on the CoinGecko thing that we just shared. It also got on your guys' screen as well. So what's going on there?
Yeah, you could just pull up the chart. We just wanted to highlight it, a win for the community. We actually called it February 5th. So we hit the bottom on the nose. Not like we wanted to. We just knew it was... It's an infrastructure play. It's not a meme token. I would say 9 out of the last 10 calls that we made were not meme coins. They were infrastructure plays. That's kind of where the market's going. And it's a privacy-focused feature protocol that all AI feeds through. A lot of people don't want their information given to AI. And this was created by Eric Voorhees, one of the OG Bitcoin investor founders, so he has some clout. Not only that, this has been around for years now. So this token's been around for multiple years, but because of the AI... a narrative really taking a strong foothold in the Web2 traditional financial markets and now bleeding over to crypto. We're kind of seeing what's going to rise with the momentum, and VVV was one of those. So when we saw that on the top 15, we were like, wow, okay, we're kind of surprised that we're right on the nose, but kind of with everything. You know, we're not behind the wave. We're like on the wave right now.
Yeah, no, you guys have always found your niche to be ahead of the wave, on the wave, and you know, obviously that thing was like a sentiment indicator of whether it was price or people being searched, and you know, there's some other privacy tokens that have performed really well, even kind of in this market, and you can kind of sniff out where those waves are going with some of the price action, and you know, you guys are second to none of being able to find those.
Yeah, it went up 20 million since I sent it to you. Jeez, we're missing. We're not missing, but the community's eating on this. We gave it to them at 75 million market cap. It's sitting at 204 right now. Wow.
Yeah, right here, if you can see that cross there that I'm moving on the screen, that's where the alert went out for the Momentum Moneymakers community members. Again, if you want the trial for that, just click the link below in the show notes. Something for virtuals? Is that a video I see?
No, it's not a video. It's just a links to a Twitter of their announcement. So basically, they're announcing a $1 million a month bounty for their AI agents. I'm really not undermining how big this is. Like I mentioned, 50% of traffic online is bots. We're moving from a place where we tolerated bots to now we're building for it. And now I could get into the weeds as much as you want, but there's been multiple people I've talked to where their target demographic now is not us as humans. It's an AI agent that represents you, TiVo, or Brian. We're not too far off from that. If you saw the Super Bowl commercial for crypto.com, what did they advertise? They advertised AI.com. And what's AI.com? You put in your email, you get an AI agent. It wasn't too long ago where 90% of us never use AI in our daily work. But now, Brian, TiVo, you probably use it daily, right? And in probably less than half a year from now, we're all going to have AI agents. It sounds crazy, but we will. But more importantly than that, the crypto rails allow for it to be easily monetized and utilized for business purposes. So what Virtuals is doing, they're like a premier AI agent launchpad. Back in 2023, Brian, 2024, it was more of a vanity play. They're like, you know, you got a cute robotic girl dancing that's a robot, like that's an agent, right? It was like just purely speculative. But now what they're doing is that they've built a protocol to help facilitate transactions with crypto. Because what people what crypto does really well is microtransactions, and what agents need to do is microtransactions. Financial rails don't really fit good for microtransactions because they got payment cycles, they got to close and settle and what that, but crypto settles instantaneously. And this is just pretty big news. Just happened when? February 12th. It's like a few days ago. They're looking to pay out. So if you utilize, they're trying to promote their own protocol, which is like an e-commerce protocol, financial world protocols for agents. So everyone's trying to get their agents to adopt a certain feature or skill set created by another project right now. That's what's happening right now in the Wild West. And this is happening like with every single company. Every single major tech company right now is building for agents. PayPal, Google, Spotify, you name it. They have agent railways, rail tracks for them to utilize, you know, financial rails and whatnot, because that's their target in the future. We're no longer the target demo, guys. It's a really interesting world right now. So virtuals is one of our plays, I would say, for this upcoming AI momentum play. It potentially can have legs to be, you know, one of the winners. Not saying to go buy virtuals. I do not have a position in there, but they are positioned well.
It's just weird times. I mean, things are going to get this AI world. We saw a lot of a pickup about a year ago in the crypto space where it seemed like the AI world was paying attention more to crypto. Crypto always kind of wanted to like move into AI, but now we're seeing more AI developers work together and integrate. And when we talk about momentum plays, TiVo, this is where the momentum is right now. It's in the standard world. Everybody wants to talk about AI. And in the crypto world or the trenches, it's all these interesting AI agents or how to make things more efficient, faster, cheaper, more fun. Is an AI agent. Joe and I talked about it for an hour today when we were probably supposed to talk about like a whole bunch of other important work things. But we talked about like AI agents and utilization and how they're going to change the world. And it's interesting times. And I think we're going to be talking more and more about it on a lot of these different crypto shows because the two worlds are colliding again. And it feels like there's a lot of stickiness right now between these two worlds.
Yeah, the last point I'm going to make on this is if we could rewind back to like when you got excited about crypto or when we got excited about NFTs, Brian, this is that moment in the AI crypto world, but also in the AI world at large. So we're like in the eye of the storm. But unlike those, you know, technologies that disrupted the financial markets like crypto, you know, did, right? It's still kind of doing that now. This is going to disrupt everything. So it's kind of crazy to just kind of try to summarize it in a rundown. But it will take some time. You're not going to lose your job tomorrow, right? Just like crypto needs to be law written in place. There's not going to be, you know, disruption. There's not going to be people on the street tomorrow, which presents a good opportunity for those of us who want to get ahead.
Yeah, I think I just have a take on AI just from the content creation world. So I was always trying to kind of learn. You're seeing these AI generated videos, so I was playing around with it, and they're definitely very cool. Even since I've started like trying to figure out these tools, whether it's VO3 or Sora, and it's just rapidly accelerating. Just it's what everybody's saying across the board, whether it's in finance or crypto or AI agents, but just from this content creation thing, like it's truly unbelievable how fast this stuff is going. And you know, if you're really, I could see how people are getting kind of scared about it just in general, but also it definitely feels like one of those things. It's like, hey, you're not going to necessarily lose your job to AI, but you might lose your job to somebody who can use AI if you don't participate. So whether it's the education front of, you know, whatever your line of work in, or understanding, you know, hey, where are the markets going? Like listening to this show and subscribing to the YouTube, I think it is very important. And you know, I'm a big like thinker, and so I'm like, all right, well, if everybody's going to be AI and this is going to take our jobs, blah, blah, blah. But I also think that there's a level of real person interaction that like everything kind of goes in waves like a pendulum. Like, oh, we're going to go all AI, and then it's going to like, I think at some point it's going to be like, okay, well, there's a lot of things that this does more efficiently and does better. But then I think the pendulum comes back and kind of ends up somewhere maybe in the middle where it's like, hey, we still want that real people, that real person interaction. At least in our lifetimes, which is why I'm super excited for the space and even our show, because I think we can evolve with it, because I think people, you know, if they're learning and trying to digest all these new AI features, I think there's a value to real people talking about their experiencing and sharing what they're learning instead of just watching a video that was produced by AI with an AI script and an AI video. I think at least that's my opinion, is like, hey, this is like kind of what we're doing in this education department. I don't really think is going anywhere. So I'm excited about it, but the pace of the video tools that I've been using, like, it's crazy. Like, I made like one of my buddies owns a restaurant. I took a picture. He has like a chicken tender tower, and it had like my friend in the background and people in the background, and it was messy. And like, I just, in probably like 40 minutes, I made this commercial like with just that picture of ripping what the chicken tender tower looked like and put a spaceship on it and had it flying through space and landing at the restaurant, all from just a picture in like 45 minutes. It was fascinating. So I agree. It's where things are going. You know, whether it's content creation, finance, you know, education, organization, these tools are getting pretty wild.
Yeah. It's almost like you were in the conversation with Joe and I earlier today, TiVo, because we literally said the exact same thing. There's an authentic portion of like where a real person and is always going to have its place, but it's going to make us more efficient, faster, smarter. I'm excited for it. I think it's a super cool area of interest for me, and I love how it works and is like coming together with crypto, because crypto is my day job as well and my passion. So it's like I get to learn both of these areas all at once and then get real scared and call somebody and tell one of my normal friends all about how, like, you know, all of this stuff. And they're like, we have no idea what you're talking about. I was like, you'll see. And I like slam the phone and run away. But
yeah, it's going so fast that I don't think they'll have to wait too long to see. Any final thoughts on AI before we move on? No, well, we have an update. We talked about it, Brian and I, was the announcement of signing up for the wait list for the Pengu card, and over 100,000 people seem to sign up. My guess is that we have 3 people on the podcast right now that are a part of that 100K, right?
I sent my referral code out, I believe, yeah, in a group chat. I believe I meant to. If not, if you didn't sign up. No, but yeah, I signed up.
Yeah, it's 100K downloads. And then they had like they had this the Pudgy Penguin bouquet, love bouquet for Valentine's Day. That sold out online real quick. And then they did a New York City pop-up. I was watching the clips from the weekend that looked like a lot of traffic in New York City as well. So, you know, it goes back to, you know, when things are down and prices down, who's building, who's continuing? And I mean, I don't think you can make the case nobody's building and continuing more than Pudgy Penguin.
Yeah, that's my argument all the time. I say it to you and Joe. I'm like, Pudgy Penguins and some of the other tokens that we like long term, are doing more than like 95% of other crypto projects. So, you know, but it gets hit down hard in the down markets. But I saw that. I saw it on the news a couple times. The pop-up shop for the Pudgy Penguin bouquet, because you and I talked about it, and I don't know. It's like, do you guys know what jelly cats are? The jelly cat animals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like my wife and kids. I mean, the collections and people that go crazy for it. I didn't realize. It's like you almost want to call it a Beanie Baby thing, but like they would get upset. But jelly cats are such collectibles now. It almost, and people go crazy for drops and new launches, and I feel like this is what Pudgy Penguins are doing. It's a fun token, especially when, you know, the market's kind of trading sideways. It's still always fun to see what they're coming up with and what creative ideas they're bringing to the table.
Yeah, is Jellycat a crypto token as well or no?
I'm pretty sure there was a Jellycat crypto token, and I want to say that like I probably owned some at one point in my life, but there is one. It's down 91% in the last 24 hours. This one just released, but I'm sure there's some older ones, but nothing that ever caught a lot of steam. But the brand, the Jellycat brand, is I don't know. It's very popular. It's you know, we love collectibles.
Yeah.
And then people.
How's that doing versus like Labubu? Labubu seems to have fallen off, right? That had a moment in the sun.
I was never a Labubu guy, but I think Joe knew a little bit more about Labubu than I did.
Yeah, the token definitely, the fan-created token definitely fell by the wayside, but the brand itself has not. It's evolving. The Labubus are the main characters in the United States, but then over in Asia, they've evolved. They have like side characters. They're like trying to make their own Pokemon. There's a Labubu land now. So, yeah. But the token, for sure, don't get in that.
That's great. Little taking over. Well, that's all I got today. Final thoughts for Crypt Nation as we head out for the week. Mine is I think you go and you learn the AI stuff. I think if you're somebody because I was always, you know, we're crypto and, you know, tech focused kind of team here, so, you know, we were always kind of keeping up with it. But then for the tools, for like, I was like, oh, it's probably too complicated. I probably won't be able to figure it out, for like the video software stuff that I was talking about. And then, you know, I just one day decided, I was like, you know what, I'm going to go and learn this stuff. And it took time. You had to put effort into it, but it didn't take, you know, too much. And it was interesting. It was fun. And so, you know, I guess that's kind of my final thought for the week is, you know, hey, pick an AI topic and try to go research it. Try to go understand it because, you know, you see, if you're listening to this show, your market's oriented, so you see, you know, hey, there's this, you know, digestion in the market that's going on because of this. So go and try and learn something to understand it.
Yeah, the last thing I would say is that this is a net bullish indicator for crypto overall. The crypto protocols that's come out to support the AI agents. So McKinsey, the research company, said that commerce in the agent world can reach 30 to 50 trillion in, I'm sorry, 3 to 5 trillion by 2030. That's like 4 years away. And I believe it because it's happening. And although Google and PayPal has allowed for agentic purchases, it just fits nicely with crypto. So Ethereum's already come up with a protocol, and they've already done millions of transactions through agents. So we're just going to see more and more adoption from agents utilizing crypto. So overall, this is great space. And a lot of people are saying that this is the onboarding that we've been waiting for. We're not waiting for normal people, like the normies, to onboard crypto. It's the agents that's going to onboard millions of wallets into cryptocurrency.
Brian, any final thoughts?
I love it. I agree. It's exciting times. Everyone should be checking out the AI world. It's exciting, and there's a little bit of everything for anybody, and you can like literally use these AI chatbots like ChatGPT to learn more about AI and spoon feed you, you know, some bullet points and some interesting tools. And I think a year from now, it's going to look completely different, and I'm fired up for it. I think it was great advice by TiVo, and Joe has some really, really interesting points. And I agree, it's net bullish for crypto. Like to see my bags go up, and I think they will. But there's another reason why the crypto market's not going anywhere.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. We'll put a bow on it there. I do have an extra interview this week. So we had some awesome interviews with Brendan and Bryce, so I'll put out an extra one later this week as well. So you get two of those instead of a rundown. But we will make something if there's some news to talk about or needs to be talked about. But we really appreciate everybody joining. I hope you have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to everybody soon. Bye, everybody.